Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news. Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch and Travel Updates and the Newsmakers in person. Oh, tonight, the Manx Vegan Sausage Roll. A new GPS tracker for the TT. Drink safe, Isle of Man, this Christmas. Was the Laxey flooding climate reality? So near yet so far for Tom Gandy. And how much is your vintage bike stuff worth?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
29 minutes to six. First of all, the news headlines. Faster May, Rhiann Evans.
Faster May. More options for Christmas party goers means there should be no need for anybody to drink drive this festive season. A representative of the Drink Safe Isle of Man campaign says Bus Vannin's late night services and the taxi trade should mean no one needs to get behind the wheel after drinking. Charterhouse Auctioneers is offering free valuations to anyone with items of interest this week. The company is organising an auction at next year's Classic TT and will be at the Isle of Man Motor Museum in Jerby from 9 till 5 this Sunday to see what your items are worth. Isle of Man golf professional Tom Gandy has said he's disappointed to have missed out on a full European tour card by just 1 point. However, he's proud of his performance at the qualifying school in Spain, where he played 6 rounds. His performance will see him move up a level and play on the Challenge Tour next season. From further afield, Boris Johnson says the lack of a clear plan for Brexit was the hole at the heart of Labour's election manifesto. Jeremy Corbyn's announced what his party will do if he wins next month, saying they'll take on the rich and powerful. Alex Salmond has pleaded not guilty to 14 counts of sexual assault against 10 women. He says he'll vigorously defend himself against accusations, including one that he tried to rape someone inside his official residence. And a mother says she's in shock at the news her daughter's killer is to be freed from prison. Ian Sims has never revealed where he buried Helen McCourt's body after he killed her on Merseyside more than 30 years ago. Those are the headlines. I'll have more news for you at 6. I'm Rhiann Evans, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us.
27 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio.
Manx Radio weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
From the Ronalds Way Met Office in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours, a strong wind warning in operation. On land, a dry evening with a fresh east-southeasterly. The overnight minimum temperature 7 degrees, not much lower than the maximum today. So a warm night for Friday. Jehenya, daytime cloudy with intermittent showers coming in on a fresh to strong easterly. Daytime maximum is 9 degrees Celsius. For Saturday, Jasan, cloudy, dull and wet and 10 Celsius. The sunset at 11 minutes past 4 this afternoon. Sunrise tomorrow morning. Oh, my word, it's 2 minutes to 8 a.m. tomorrow. High water in about an hour's time at 16 minutes to 7. Low tide overnight, 19 minutes past 1. And tomorrow morning's high water is 22 minutes past 7.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
It's that time of year. The festive season is fast approaching, which for many means family, friends, celebrations, party, merriment and booze. For the Isle of Man Constabulary, it can also mean a spike in incidents of people taking that enjoyment just a little too far. Each year, we see efforts from police and other organisations to cut out drink driving, with a tangible spike in offences occurring across Christmas and the New Year. This year, officers are teaming up with Public Health Isle of Man, Bus Vannin and others to form Drink Safe Isle of Man once more. Manx Radio's Dolan Mercer spoke to Superintendent Steve Maddox and Public Health Strategist Dawn Henley about what they're doing to try and reduce the number of incidents this year.
It is something that, whilst we would like to try and eradicate it, we have to live in the real world. People will push the limits, and that might not be intentionally. That might actually be somebody thinks they are fit to, say, drive a car, or they go out maybe and enjoy themselves a little bit too much. They can't actually handle it if they don't go out very much, and then they end up getting into or doing things that they wouldn't normally do. So it's just to try and raise awareness for people when they are doing that and going out, just to be mindful and be safe.
So this is a a criminal discussion, but it's also obviously a health discussion. People now, I would imagine, are fairly aware of the dangers of drinking to excess. What's the message from public health, and how can you get that across in a way that people aren't already aware?
Well, the public health message is probably the same message as the police. Drinking safely, driving safely, and travelling safely. So for us, our wider message is think about what you're drinking, think about keeping yourself safe, and a really important thing is planning your journey home. You can book a taxi now, even if you want it for a couple of weeks later.
How far do you think people do plan nights out?
I would suggest that some people don't. Some people, it's just on the spur of the moment, but there will be people that do plan their nights out and want to know how they get home. To support the drink driving aspect, we've got bus vanning now that run the late night buses, and we have the taxi trade. So they're really there to support and help and take away maybe that incident where you think, I'll just jump in the car. There are alternatives this year.
How's the landscape changed, do you think, in recent years? And there are several parts to that. The rules, obviously, but also people's inclination, perhaps, to drink and drive?
That's a really interesting question, that, because a number of years ago, and I haven't got any real statistics to back this up for this interview anyway, but certainly anecdotally, from what I've seen, is that there used to be driving with alcohol a number of years ago was really a taboo subject. People wouldn't do it. We have seen a bit of a rise in younger people being arrested for being under the influence of either alcohol or drugs. It is quite an interesting sort of question in relation to people and society's view on things, but I think the message has been hammered home, really, I think, to people, certainly about driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs. It is socially unacceptable. It can affect your employment status. It's dangerous. You could kill someone. You could kill yourself. So really, I would say to people, just think of the consequence deciding not to get behind the wheel of the car.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 23 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio, live from the Isle of Man. This is Update, an illustrated presentation tonight. We'll ask whether the recent flooding in Langsey was an example of climate reality. Paul Crane, author of the Isle of Man Population Atlas and Isle of Man leader of the Climate Reality Project, is hosting the discussion at the Salmon Lake Centre in Langsey. The event gets underway from 7:30 this evening. It's the next in a series of talks from Mr. Crane, who's drawing on the knowledge and resources he gained after he undertook formal training in the United States this summer. Ahead of a previous presentation, he explained more to Manx Radio.
So the Climate Reality Project is the stable that produced the film, the Inconvenient Truth, and then the follow-up to that, the Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. So it's Al Gore's movement. I was in Minneapolis for a holiday in the summer, and I heard in advance that there was some of their training available, which I've been trying to get on for a couple of years. So I attended a three-day training session with 1,100 people. This was the 42nd training session, so they've now got 20,000 people trained. The term they use for them is climate reality leaders, which sounds a bit grand, but there's 20,000 of us trained in 154 countries. I'm the first from the Isle of Man, so I had to apply and get onto the course and so on. 3 days of training there, very intensive training, much of it led by Al Gore himself, which was fascinating, now leaves me with access to all of their resources. So their main slide deck has about 650 slides on, some of which are videos and so on built into them. And I'm able to use those, and I'm able to add in resources that relate to the Isle of Man.
That was Paul Crane, who'll deliver the Langsey Floods Climate Reality Illustrator presentation this evening. Starts at 7:30 at the Salmon Lake Centre in Langsey.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
So far this evening, everything is okay. The Ben McCree left Heysham at 17 minutes past 2 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas just after 6 o'clock and heading out at 7:45 for Heysham, all being well, arriving at about 11:30. Of course, this stage of the year, of course, we've only got the Ben McCree. The Firecraft is resting until March of next year.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com.
Now, you may be one of the people who've enjoyed their first day in a week of not pressing the F5 button on the keyboard to find out the latest on Manx professional golfer Tom Gandy. Tom missed out on a full European tour card by one shot at the qualifying school in Spain. The Rowany player's back on the Isle of Man. He's been to Manx Radio this afternoon to talk to Manx Radio's Tim Glover. So was it hard to take?
It was and it wasn't. You know, mission accomplished, really, in terms of what goal I'd set myself at the start of the year. But to have the carrot dangled in front of you, it would have been great, but it's fine. We've still got some status on the European tour, so I should still get to play some events next year, which is, you know, going to be great experience, going to be great fun.
And the final three ball you were with, I think you had one from the Euro Pro Tour, which you were well aware of and had seen all through the season, but Bradley Dredge as well, he was fighting to retain his card, really, wasn't he? So that shows you the standard that you're playing with.
There were some really big names there, Bradley Dredge is a bit of a household name. He's coming towards, I mean, I was speaking to him, he's quite happy to sort of play a bit part season because he, you know, got family and stuff. So, but quality player, really, you know, you could see. And I learned a lot from playing with guys like that, really. Even
it's a much higher standard than you've been playing with for the rest of the season, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's what made it so difficult to kind of know what we needed to do on the final day because I wasn't aware of that standard necessarily. I hadn't played in it, so the weather was a bit better on the final day. But usually people are a bit nervous, stuff like that. Scoring doesn't get too far away, but you know, I still shot 2 under and I was in before we started play, and 2 under wasn't good enough. So it shows you got to be on it, really. But it was great, great experience, great fun. So looking forward to next year.
And it's not all doom and gloom, as you rightly say, because at the start of the season, you're in the third tier, as it were. You're now in the second tier on the back of your result in Spain. Yeah. So you've moved up to the Challenge Tour, which would have been your goal at the start of the season.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that was, I discussed with Isle of Man Sport, with Chris Quine, you know, goals and stuff like that. And my coach, Charlie Simpson, down at Castletown, and That's the obvious sort of stepping stone.
So that'll be a higher quality of golfer again.
I was fortunate to play one Challenge Tour event this year, so I got a feel for the standard there and what was going on. But it's amazing, really. A lot of the guys there are guys I might have played with when I was an amateur playing for England, stuff like that, or guys that have been promoted from EuroPro as well. So really what I did realise was that your good golf's very, you know, very much good enough.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
After the 6 o'clock news, Tammy Gindis is hosted by Beth Espy and Howard Kane.
Manx Radio's business briefing. Powered by Y Manx.
Some news from the Isle of Man and down under as well. The Manx retailer EVF will launch a vegan sausage roll in a number of its stores later this week. The company, which has garages and shops across the Isle of Man, Elm Valley Fuels, of course, made the announcement on social media confirming that the vegan sausage roll will be baked fresh in store. The Kirkmichael branch will be first to try it, with several others also preparing to sell. It comes after the UK chain Greggs introduced a similar vegan sausage roll earlier this year, which has been credited for the firm's huge upturn in profits. Technology services company NTT has been appointed to provide data and live timing tracking services for course cars, travelling Marshall bikes and competitors in the Isle of Man TT races, the classic TT races and the Manx Grand Prix. The Department for Enterprise made the announcement today. Along with a local firm, SES, the company will deliver a GPS-based tracking system that will give real-time data from any point around the circuit, which will be available to race fans via the official IOMTTRaces.com website. The Luxembourg-based organisation already supplies data and timing services to the Tour de France and hopes to be operational around the mountain course by 2021. From down under, the scandal continues. The wage indignity down under continues. In Australia, gross grocery giant Woolworths has admitted underpaying thousands of supermarket workers for years and will need to repay as much as $300 million Australian dollars, the latest and most high-profile company to be caught up in a wage scandal across corporate Australia. The admission comes from the country's biggest company by revenue, prompted a government agency to say that it would investigate Woolworths, who said a routine internal review found that salaries it had paid to about 5,700 permanent employees failed to take into account an allowance for overtime, which they should have received under industrial laws. Woolworths CEO Brad Banducci said they'd be paying the missing amount without argument by the end of the year. The humiliation overshadowed a robust rise in first quarter sales for Woolies, who reckon they owe workers an average of $52,600 Australian dollars per person. Nice Christmas present. Other Australian companies in wage scandals this year include the Super Retail Group, one of Australia's best-known celebrity chefs. George Kalambaris admitted to underpaying restaurant staff. The jeweller Michael Hill International said it underpaid staff, and retail conglomerate Wesfarmers admitted that 6,000 staff at an industrial and safety business were underpaid by about $15 million Australian dollars since 2010.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 66333 or visit wimanx.com today.
That's the business briefing from Update on Manx Radio.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed lower as America-China relations came under strain over Hong Kong, fueling concerns a Phase 1 trade deal between the two powerhouses may be pushed into 2020. The Japanese yen firmed against the dollar after sources close to the White House told Reuters that an America-China trade deal is unlikely this year, shattering investor hopes of a partial agreement soon and boosting safe haven assets. Oil prices rose after a Reuters report showed OPEC and its allies are likely to extend output cuts until mid-2020. Gold prices eased from the last session's two-week high after a report that China's invited top American negotiators for a new round of face-to-face talks. In corporate news, Johnson Matthey was the worst performer on the top flight index, as specialty chemicals company said that half-year pre-tax profit declined 8%, while net debt rose. On the upside, British gas owner Centrica surged as it backed its full-year guidance and increased the efficiency savings forecast by 50 million to 300 million. And British American Tobacco was a high riser following reports on Wednesday that American regulators have abandoned plans to cut the level of nicotine in cigarettes. At the close, the FTSE 100 was down a third of a percent at 7,238. The DAX in Germany was slightly down at 13,137. The Dow Jones in New York a short while ago was down a third of a percent at 27,733. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index in New York down a third of a percent at 8,494. And the S&P 500 in Chicago down a third of a percent at 3,098. On the exchange markets, the pound is worth $1.29.1 and €1.16.7. And the commodity markets, gold is trading down a third of a percent at $1,468 per ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude will cost you $63.41.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsay Crookall. Ramsay Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsay Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramsaycrookall.com. Ramsay Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio Sport.
With Chris Cave.
Pastor Mike, good evening. Tom Gandy says he's feeling positive despite narrowly missing out on a full European tour card. The Isle of Man golf professional fell one shot short at the qualifying school in Spain, where he played six rounds. He'll move up a level and play on the Challenge Tour next season following his strong performance over the past week. The Rowney man says he has no regrets.
100%, yeah. Yeah, which is why I'm looking forward so much to next year, because, yeah, why not? And despite being one short, I still will get, or should get, some starts on the European Tour. So there will be some opportunities there. And, you know, that's the stuff I've watched on TV every week since I was a kid. So how cool is that going to be to be a part of it? Yeah, I can't wait, really.
Ultra runner Ben Scott has been recovering after a grueling race at the weekend in which he managed to finish second. He took part in the Gun 31 Ultra Marathon in Guernsey, tackling a 28-mile out-and-back course featuring 9,900 feet of ascent in total. Ben's time of 5 hours 37 minutes was 10 minutes behind the eventual winner. In squash, Jason Blew was crowned champion of this year's Santander International Open at the NSC. The top seed beat Alan McNair and Mason McClarney on his way to the final without losing a single game, and Blew went on to prevail in the showdown with Isle of Man national team captain Tom Whiteway in the final to seal the trophy. Further afield, new Tottenham head coach Jose Mourinho insists he's back where he belongs. The former Chelsea and Manchester United manager was working as a TV pundit before replacing Mauricio Pochettino at Spurs yesterday. He believes he's now a better manager after spending time away from the game. And England's cricketers will hope to build a big score when day two of the opening test with New Zealand starts tonight. They'll resume their first innings on 241 for 4 at Bay Oval, with Ben Stokes unbeaten on 67. It's the first of two matches between the sides. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Here's what's happening. No problems reported so far on the matrix signs across the Isle of Man's roads. At the airport, everything's coming in about okay. And in fact, the 5:35 to Dublin left some 15 minutes early at 22 minutes past 5. No problems reported so far on the evening departures to Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick. On the roads, temporary 24-hour two-way traffic signals in operation at Bagarrow. They're enabling bridge repairs there. Rencullen at Kirkmichael has got temporary two-way 24-hour traffic signals. They're repairing the culvert at Rencullen. Still those issues on the A2 Douglas to Ramsey Coast Road at Laxey. Temporary 24-hour traffic lights between Green's Garage and Ard Riot, making the area safe due to the recent tree falls. The Curragh Road, St John's, still got those traffic lights there between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity sites closed there. Glen Road in Laxey still closed. It'll be closed through till the start of February next year, but it is open for business, is Laxey. And for any guidance and information, there's a current comprehensive summary of all travel news and issues on the Isle of Man for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks, and Lock Promenade, Harris Promenade, Central Promenade and Queen's Promenade in Douglas. Go to manxradio.com, where, of course, via the community tab, there's a page of links to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Your chance to have your vintage motorcycle or memorabilia valued on Sunday. How much is it worth? Charterhouse Auctioneers will be at Isle of Man Motor Museum in Jerby, organising an auction at the Classic TT Paddock next year too. The Associate Director at Charterhouse, Matthew Whitney, has been talking to Manx Radio's Tim Glover.
They will be there from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. We'd love to see anyone that would like to come along with their automobilia, motorbikes, or if they've got a collection of either or, that they'd like to go and see us. We'd like to go and see them on the island, make an appointment and go and see them. So more the merrier.
A chance to basically get a free valuation, as I understand.
Absolutely.
It as well.
Yeah, very much so. There's no obligation. So bring along what you think you'd like valued, crash helmet, leathers, brochures, race programs, you name it, we'll give you a valuation on it.
Does it have to be connected directly with the racing? Can it be something that indirectly could be of interest to road race
Absolutely.
Fans?
Yeah. No, it's not all about race bikes and race brochures and things. It's all encompassing. So if you've got an enamel sign for I don't know, BP petrol or Shell petrol, bring that along. We can give you a valuation for that as well. So it's all encompassing. Anything to do with motorcycles.
And how are preparations going for the big auction that's going to take place at the 2020 meeting?
Yeah, it's very exciting. We're having lots of inquiries from all over the world. We're dealing with people from Australia, Sri Lanka, Europe. So the consignments are starting to flow in very well. And also there's some very significant motorcycles consigned within those. I can't really tell you exactly what at the moment, because people are a bit cagey, I suppose, for want of a better word. They like to sort of keep their powder dry a little bit, but I can tell you categorically that we're having some excellent consignments brought forward for the auction.
And that auction's going to be in a specially constructed venue in the classic TT paddock at Nobles Park. It is open for both people that are there in person but online as well.
Absolutely. We'll have we use at least two for bidding platforms for external bidding, so people can't attend. Obviously, we have telephone lines for people anywhere in the world. They can leave commission bids, and obviously you can attend as well. So we try to cover all bases as far as that's concerned. Everyone can bid.
Just to switch back to the free valuation day taking place on Sunday, does getting a valuation of an item help people make up their minds as to whether they want to auction it off or not?
I think so, to some degree. It's also they like to get some further advice on an item. It's not always the most expensive things that are actually interesting as well. That's the other thing to take into consideration, you know. So, yes, they will take advice from us on what something's worth. They'll be pleasantly surprised sometimes and things are worth a lot more than they might think, and it could go the other way. But generally, it sort of consolidates someone's mind to know what they want to do.
And you'll, of course, be open to offers of auctioning an item if they so wish.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, if they want to consign an item, we would give them we'd sign a consent form when they're there on the day to get the item consigned. Then we can either store it for them or they can bring it back, you know, nearer the time.
Do you like mince pies? In case you were wondering, Marks & Spencer has won the top prize for mince pies this year. The consumer group, which says its offering scored 87% during blind taste tests from 11 supermarkets. That didn't count the homemade ones, I tell you. That's it for Update. I'm Andy Winton. By the way, tomorrow on The Man in Line, David Ashford, MHK, Health and Social Care Minister, will be on Facing Your Calls. If you want to give me a call between midday and 1 tomorrow, that's it for Update. Compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to newsreader Rhiann Evans and producer Sarah Hendy. Update is back tomorrow night at 5:30. Have a terrific Tuesday evening.